The Story County Board of Supervisors officially accepted applications for three proposed hog confinements during their meeting Tuesday and spent much of the meeting reviewing the processes and procedures that are in place to deal with the applications. The board also set a public hearing date for 10 a.m. on Tuesday, December 11th, during its regular meeting in the second floor supervisors' meeting room at the County Administration Building in Nevada. By formally accepting the applications, it puts mandated procedures and timelines into effect. All three confinements are proposed to be in Richland Township, north of Nevada, and each of the three will contain 5,000 hogs. The facilities are proposed to be located in sections 10, 28, and 29 of Richland Township. Scott Henry of Longview Pork is the person who signed the application for all three facilities. Story County Supervisors Chair Rick Sanders said that in 2015, the county instituted a process that incorporated more staff members into the, quote, scoring, unquote, of each application and, quote, let us have more eyes, quote, on that scoring. The scoring is a system laid out in a master matrix by the state for a variety of categories that, in the end, answer the question, is this a suitable site for one of these facilities? Margaret Janes, Director of Environmental Health, officially presented the applications to the board. And then the article continues with the procedures. Rather than reading from them, we thought we would talk to some people who've been involved with the Master Matrix, starting with Margaret Janes.
My name is Margaret Janes, and I am the director of the Story County Environmental Health Department. And I've been director since 2009, and I've worked for the county since 1993.
So have you had to look at a lot of applications for CAFOs?
When DNR gets an application for a construction permit over 1,000 animal units, then the master matrix kicks in. And I have done 10 so far. And some of them come in and they need manure management plans, but they do not have a large enough facility that qualifies them for a master matrix. And an example of that would be the Rockstar that was intended to be built south of Hickory Grove Lake, but then they pulled out because of public outcry, I believe.
What are the issues in manure management?
The issues in manure management, and people have to be certified as operators to do this. So the important things is groundwater protection and stream water protection. So setbacks to streams, tile intakes, wells are what's really important for water quality. Most folks do knife it in the same day as it's applied. So in other words, they incorporate it in the soil, so you don't have to worry about the runoff as much because it's already incorporated into the soil as opposed to just spraying it on top. And that is the best thing to do with that, best for the soil and for protecting the water. My concern and what I would possibly change, if I were queen, I would change setbacks for manure to water bodies. I met DNR on site, all three of them, last Monday, the 26th, and they're very isolated sites as far as CAFOs are concerned. They easily meet the setbacks to the houses, to streams, to wells, just about all those distances that are required, plus an additional setback. Those points were easily earned on the master matrix just by the siting fact alone.
Do you have any comments on those determinants in the matrix? Do you think they're adequate?
I think that the setbacks should be increased to water bodies, and I think the setbacks should be at least a 2-mile, match up with that 2-mile fringe around municipal boundaries. I think that the ones that are going in, the people, I've talked to a lot of Nevada citizens here because, you know, the ones going in Richland 28 and 29, they are within that 2-mile radius that we notify people. And there's a lot of concern about property values going down and just enjoyment of life with the smell of manure. And in addition to that, some of the manure land application sites are right up next to city limits. And that is, you know, the farmer's right because they own farm ground. They own that farm ground, the Henrys who are putting in these CAFOs or proposing to put in these CAFOs. They own that land. That is their right, and they do need to add soil amendments. So they're perfectly within their right, but, you know, it just seems like it's a little too close to cities.
Now, if you were testifying at the hearing, what would you say?
My job at the hearing is to be the fact collector and presenting the score to the Board of Supervisors.
When you make the recommendations, you obviously don't make the decision. How is the decision made?
The decision is made at the public hearing. The Board of Supervisors oversees the meeting. And so the committee that scores the master matrix submits the score to the Board of Supervisors. And based on the score, and based on comments received from the public, written and spoken, the Board of Supervisors can recommend it be approved or disapproved by the Department of Natural Resources, DNR. And the decision is not theirs either. The decision is totally in the hands of the DNR, not the Board of Supervisors and not Environmental Health. So when DNR receives that information, then they will not review the master matrix if they get a passing score from the county. So they will make their decision based on comments alone, basically, and go from there. So I think comments are very, very important, but I don't know how much weight really holds with DNR.
Well, thank you very much. And I think that's very important because what we're trying to do is inform people who have concerns that they can make comments.
Oh, yes. When people call in, I say, you know, that's an important point. Please come to me and let your voice be heard. But anyway, so the county really wants the public to know that we are really just the information gatherers. And then we send it up the flagpole to DNR. And okay. They are the ones to make the decision.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye, Margaret. To find out more about the Master Matrix, which seems so important, we called one of its original authors, Mark Kuhn.
Yes, my name is Mark Kuhn. I'm a farmer in Floyd County, Iowa. I'm currently a member of the Board of Supervisors, and I served 12 years as a member of the legislature, so I have a broad interest in the issue of livestock confinement. I served on this issue my entire term in the legislature, and so I had experience as a county supervisor, so I have a broad range of experience and knowledge on the issue. I'm a farmer to boot, so I understand the issue on all sides.
And I understand that you were involved in February 2002 when the Master Matrix was first introduced.
It was the last time that a bill was drafted to overhaul Iowa's confined livestock regulations, and I was the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, and so I was appointed to represent the minority party on this committee that was formed in 2002, and eventually that committee led to the creation of the Master Matrix as we know it today. And so I had a working knowledge of how it was created, and I've seen it work, and it failed. It really is a pass-fail test that has failed Iowans, and I think there's some real reason that it needs to be reviewed and reworked.
It sounds like you are the most knowledgeable person about what the strengths and weaknesses are. And do you have ideas about how to improve it?
Yeah, certainly. There are actually a couple people who, with an intimate knowledge and working knowledge, they're still in the legislature. The other is Senator David Johnson, and he introduced a lot of bills this year that proposed to make some changes that I supported. Really, what happens is the DNR records show that only 2% of all the applications have ever been denied. So it creates a system whereby counties are supposed to be given input, but not any real determination of where siting goes. And they do this through these three criteria, and producers are required to have a minimum score in each of the three criteria. And that all sounds well and good, but DNR's own research has proven that through the years.
But even with the proving that it doesn't work, they still approve almost all of the ones that come to them.
Well, yeah, 98% of them, and the supervisors have really or lack of ability to do anything about it. As long as the applicant scores the required number of points, they can't object. And just one of the things that ties the hands of the supervisors. For instance, of these questions that are asked, it's easy to score points on the separated distance from certain structures. And it seems to be easy to even score points on some of the waterways and our water bodies. A lot of people do that. But when it comes to actually creating a system that requires producers do something about the air emissions from their CAFOs or any potential threat that an individual county might have, there's no way to score that. So the DNR's own research has shown that so many people score on a lot of these points. For instance, having a concrete manure storage structure tank provides a lot of points on the matrix, but it's common practice in the industry. But yet there are hardly any peak of applications that score on putting filters in front of fans to reduce the odor. And so that's why I say on their own, based on their own analysis of it a few years ago, it really hasn't provided the hope that we would when we passed it, that this was some method of the counties to get more input. But really, as I said, it hasn't been changed in 16 years, and it really needs to be looked at, because we have such an influx of CAFOs now in Iowa, and there's been a lot more since the law was adopted in 2002. And, you know, anything after 16 years needs to be reworked, and certainly people who live near CAFOs have a real legitimate concern about air quality, about the quality of their water, and there are unique environmental characteristics in certain counties. I'm sure there are in Story County, just like there are in Floyd County, that need to be protected. We have 750 impaired water bodies in the state, and many of them are affected by E. coli. And that's bacteria that comes from livestock confinements and other sources. And we really need to get a handle on that. That's a primary issue for the future of Iowa.
Well, do you have any suggestions?
Well, yeah, we're just to get back to the matrix, it absolutely has to have a new review and consideration. We've been calling for it. In fact, Floyd County is one of 22 counties in the state of Iowa that have now called on the DNR and the legislature to make changes to the matrix, impose a moratorium on new site construction until the number of impaired waterways is reduced, or other form of action calling on the legislature to do something. And to date, those cries have all been ignored. And so I can certainly understand people who live by near CAFOs, and their quality of life is affected, and their health. They're upset with that, but there really isn't a place that they can turn. The legislature hasn't agreed to take this issue up since 2002, when it was first drafted and implemented. It deserves a look, important to our future. The livestock industry is important now. We have to make sure it grows in places that are sustainable, and we really have to pay more attention to the people who live nearby them, because most often it's not the people that own the hogs, or it's not the people that are profiting from the sale and marketing those. This is why you hear people objecting, and hopefully that county supervisors review these applications on a case-by-case basis.
That's exactly what's happening right here in Story County. And we talked with a one of the candidates for the legislature who was defeated. And she talked specifically about the problems of differences in soils and mentioned Floyd County. And I think she'll probably be describing that. But I would think maybe you might have some on the ground knowledge of that.
I do. As a farmer, I'm well aware of the topography in Floyd County. It's unique. It's called karst topography. And we have good, rich soil, but it's shallow in many spots of the county. Shallow underneath that good, rich soil is a layer of fractured bedrock. And so contaminants, any contaminant from a river, from a farm, from a business that enters into this karst topography, it goes directly into our drinking water. Our drinking water is a source of the aquifer for about the eastern half of Iowa. And so this possibility of a direct conduit of any contaminant, whether it be manure, farm chemicals, industrial waste, is a real threat to the drinking water supply. So that's a unique characteristic that we have in our county. And there are others in other parts of the state. So these really don't get to come into play in any form in the matrix, and the counties can't add any criteria to them. So that's one of the concerns we have here. We also have ag drainage wells, and we're closing them because we don't want to provide a source of entry for any farm. This drainage wells are what the tile water is drained into, and so, you know, it's likely to have contaminants of pharmaceuticals and fertilizers in it, nitrates. So we're working very hard to clear all those and clean and close them, and we've been pretty successful at that. But this issue of our drinking water supplies is critical to our future. So that's why every component that provides a possible contaminant to that drinking water supply, you know, should be reviewed and required to eliminate it. Our large livestock industry. So there's a lot of pressure to maintain that. And so it's an uphill fight in the legislature, but nobody needs to give up. You know, that's the only way we make change, and we have to make our voices heard. But we thought we offered many compromised positions. This a notion that we just would even call the group of stakeholders back together that originally came up with all these questions and have them review them and sit down and have a review of all the answers in all those 16 years that this has been in effect. And even those calls were just not even addressed by the majority party. And so keep speaking up and good luck. You know, I'm retiring after 26 years of public service. I've worked on this issue through most of those years, and I'm a farmer. I understand its impact in the local community, and there are solutions. We can do better, but we have to learn that can't continue with this this steady growth that we're at now and expect to be able to protect our air and the water and the fish trout streams that we fish in and the rivers and the lakes that we recreate in. It's too precious a resource.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Pat Schlarbaum brought Brenda Brink, member of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement and a recent candidate for the Iowa State Senate.
And joining us in our studio, this is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI, is Ms. Brenda Brink. And here with Susan Franson. And thank you for taking the time to come in and talk to us about these confinement animal feeding operations. And let's kind of focus on your involvement with the master matrix of this legacy.
I'm Brenda Brink, and I live near Huxley. I've been involved with Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement and their action fund. I was part of the group through that pushed for strengthening the master matrix. That didn't go anywhere. We wanted greater separation distances.
So the master matrix is what the farmers basically fill out.
The applicants, yeah. Some of us don't really think of them as farmers. We think of them basically as pieces in a big wheel of industrial agriculture mm-hmm. that are not necessarily what we always think of as family farmers, but they have to satisfy the master matrix when they get above a certain level of animal units.
And that's essentially the paperwork
right.
that is created to justify their intent of putting up one of these facilities. Coming on 13 years ago now, that the master matrix came into play. And it was legislators that basically created the guidelines for siting these facilities that would govern the Department of Natural Resources overview and of the regulatory agency. So now we have a master matrix, and we have people like yourself that are looking at this master matrix principle and realizing it has some shortcomings. What would you like to see changed in the master matrix process?
Well, some of the basic concepts are that there are points given, and the applicants get to choose which categories they go for points in. So it's entirely up to them which categories. And when you look at the scoring, they only need to get half, which in anybody's book, if you had a test and you got half of the points, that's a failing grade.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, we need to up the ante. These particular operations are getting by with very few. It's a low bar. It's a low bar. And we've seen these go in places where, for example, there was a bed and breakfast and a resort area, and they went in right next to them because it wasn't considered a commercial area, even because it was only operating seasonally. These are the sort of things that need to be strengthened, because what happens is the master matrix is not protecting the people who were there first.
Very good point. Okay, is there other things that needs to be brought into this discussion? We have more and more of these applicants going to our Story County Board of Supervisors.
Right. Well, there could be a number of things that could be strengthened on it. The other thing is there need to be greater separation distances from places where people congregate. Again, there's discrepancy between what the applicant thinks is a public use area and what the public thinks in their commonwealth thinks is a public use area. So that all needs to be strengthened so that when the public goes to use an area, they're not confronted with that nuisance and that health problem of the CAFO. The other thing is when we look at the certain types of soil that are allowed, some of these parts of the master matrix are not even a mandatory point thing. In other words, again, the applicant gets to choose where to get their points. And so if they decide not to choose the area that talks about karst soil, so if there's a karst area, which is common in northeast Iowa, where there are huge holes, this is an area which is subject to, for example, sinkholes, then that animal waste will go right down in the water system. I think we're seeing a problem with water concerns as it is. So when these operations are allowed to build in places where they don't have the proper soil to even accept the so-called nutrients and put them where they're supposed to go, which is for crop operation, it just kind of defies logic.
Yeah, so a producer would have, or a farmer would have, a confinement animal feeding operation with a big pit lagoon that's filled with the effluent or the waste products, and then a couple times a year, that waste product is spread on the adjoining agricultural fields. And if you've got a karst topography that includes sinkholes, you've got almost a hypodermic situation of that waste encountering our sub-moisture, the water in our water table. And once that is in there, you've really kind of created an untenable situation for those of us that want to have clean water. So the soil types are really, you feel, are not being addressed where the effluent is being spread across the landscape.
The cards are stacked. The deck is stacked in the favor of the applicant instead of the people that have to deal with the results.
that will require legislative action, and you were a candidate for this. Does our current legislature have the capacity to address the master matrix shortcomings now that we've been saddled with it for 13 years?
The current legislature, with the history that we have seen, is reluctant to open up the master matrix. And in fact, in many cases, the legislators I've talked to don't believe there's even a problem. So it's near impossible to get anywhere with this.
What is the one thing that Brenda Brink would like to see initiated in the master matrix arena that we can all benefit from and move forward with?
I don't think there's one thing that I would say for the master matrix arena other than I believe that we need a moratorium on new and expanding factory farms, CAFOs, because with the reluctance of our elected officials, including the current legislators from this area, to deal with it, the rest of us are left with declining property values. Asthma rates will go through the roof of our children, our elderly, and respiratory problems. There are a number of issues that are health-related that are going to affect the local communities in their emergency room and local hospitals in their ability to move forward as a community, because we need a moratorium until we can figure out how the master matrix could be strengthened to actually protect the people who live there first.
Thank you, Brenda Brink. Thank you for all that you do for this community.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And we are in fundraising mode. Is there something you'd like to include with the opportunity that community radio provides a voice such as yours?
I encourage everybody to be members of KHOI because this is, again, a community program. It's not bound to profit. It's run by the people who support it. And, of course, that will be the concerns of the community that they bring forward, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're trying to strengthen community through communication, and your voice is loud and clear. Thank you, Brenda.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Brenda, for that tribute.